Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Tenney, Brother and Sister, G.C., Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 1, 1897. This letter is published in entirety in FBS 78-80. Dear Brother and Sister Tenney, I have been reading your letter. Thank you for writing in response to my letter. I should have written to you at first, but I thought that if Fanny would show repentance, I would be pleased to have her soul saved, if possible. I do not read her articles at all, but my attention was called to the articles in the Instructor and the Review by one who understood the articles in the Review perfectly. In them, she has represented the family of Mackenzie. The mild Miss Ashbury is Miss Fanny Bolton. Mr. and Mrs. Morehouse are Brother Mackenzie and his wife, who live in Parramatta. The representation that Fanny gives of Miss Ashbury is, I suppose, exactly her estimate of herself. In this romance, she has represented herself as having a perfection of character that she has never revealed in connection with that family, or any family where she has been an inmate. False ideas are traced in this story. Fanny did have a room in the hired home of Brother and Sister Mackenzie, and the rent from this helped them in a time of their great poverty. But everything in this story is exaggerated. She has had some threads to use in making out this story, but the main history was transacted at Ashfield, where the first camp meeting was held in New South Wales. At that camp meeting, some of these things did take place, and those who are familiar with the facts will recognize the ones meant. Should Mackenzie get hold of the paper, as I have no doubt he will, there would be one of the greatest commotions that could take place, for Brother and Sister Mackenzie are both sensitive and proud. He did become tempted. We had Brother Belden move his family and furniture from Parramatta to the Ashfield campground. I helped them by giving them clothing, milk, fruit, and money. Brother Mackenzie became displeased with Brother Caldwell, because Brother Caldwell was put in as elder of the church, while Brother Mackenzie was not put into office. W.C. White and Emily Campbell found Brother Mackenzie in work. His daughter Julia is a fine, nice girl, but Julia is represented as being married. Emily Campbell and I paid Julia's car fare to the city, and she and Emily attended a school where shorthand was taught. At this time, Caldwell was working the typewriter for Fanny, and I felt that matters were not going right. I was warned in a dream, and I talked with both of them, telling them that it was not right for them to be together. I talked with Mackenzie about this matter, and he said that Caldwell's coming to his home at all times of the day and in the evening was working up a scandal. Well, we met with much opposition from both Fanny and Caldwell. They said that Mackenzie had no sense or reason for his evil surmisings. But the burden was laid heavily upon me, and I told them it could not be thus any longer. There was my parlor, used as Willie's office. They could write in that, for Willie was away, either in Melbourne or New Zealand. Well, this familiarity continued. I told Caldwell that I could not have him connected with my work. He told me that there was nothing between him and Fanny, and yet the warning kept coming, "She is your adversary." My burden was very great, for I had no rest in spirit. The poor man, Mackenzie, took to smoking and drinking, and I think they had a hard time of it. Fanny was then away at Kurrenbong. The work between Fanny and Caldwell was begun at the camp meeting. There she became enamored of a married man with two children. She utterly denied that there was any affection between her and Brother Caldwell. She stood before me in my tent and declared that there was nothing to the reports. For 1 year after this, she was good for nothing to me, only a dead, heavy load. The warning from God kept coming, and finally at the Armadale camp meeting matters came to a head. Fanny claimed to make most of my books. Both at the Ashfield and Armadale camp meetings, she was inspired by Satan. While at the Brighton camp meeting, her course of action was anything than what a Christian should be. And after the camp meeting, I cut loose from her. I discharged her. We had a very serious time, but she begged and wrote so humbly that I forgave her and foolishly tried her again. She was taken back and given another trial. When living at Preston, I told her that I could never have her in my home to live with me again. At the Brighton camp meeting, she told the Malcolm family, who had recently come to the faith, that she had to make my books herself. She said that Sister White did not know how to write or put two sentences together, that she was a very ignorant woman, and that her, Fanny Bolton's, talent supplied lack. Fanny begged to go to the Armadale camp meeting, saying that she would do my writing and not take up the children's meetings. But she did not keep her word. One short article, I think, she prepared for me. There was at this time an advertisement in one of the papers regarding one of my books. When Fanny noticed this advertisement, which spoke of Professor Prescott compiling the book, she vehemently declared with wild gesticulations that it was a lie. She was all broken up and declared to Sarah that she had done the work herself, and now Professor Prescott was taking the glory of it. But Sister Prescott had been told Fanny's story at Corenbong, and she could see things in their true bearing. In talking with Sister Prescott, Fanny claimed to be the author of some sentence in this book, which they thought was very beautiful. But when she made this assertion, Sister Prescott told her that she knew better, because she had a letter from Sister White, in her own handwriting, which contained the same sentence. If Sister Prescott is in Battle Creek, you may talk with her in regard to this, and she will be able to tell you just how it was. I had a letter written to Dr. Kellogg, which Fanny saw lying on my table as she came into my room. In this letter, she saw her own name. She called Sarah into another room and told her that she had seen a letter addressed to Dr. Kellogg on Sister White's table, and that in this letter she saw her name. She then asked Sarah to get this letter and give it to her, so that she might see what Sister White was writing about her to Dr. Kellogg. Sarah faced her and asked, "What do you take me for? Do you think I have come all the way from America to do that sort of work?" Fanny insisted that Sarah should get the letter for her, but Sarah declared that she would do no such thing. From this time, Fanny seemed to have but little confidence in Sarah. "I have told you these things that you may understand about the matter. We had the affair between Fanny and Caldwell all through the Armadale camp meeting. I talked with them both separately and told them that the Lord had a controversy with them both. They denied that there was anything like particular attachment between them. I knew better, but the Lord helped me to work through the meeting. Just the meeting closed, Fanny came to me and said, 'Oh, Sister White, I have come to you as to a mother. I do love Brother Caldwell with all my heart, and my heart is just broken. Three times has this cup of bliss been presented to me, and then been snatched away.' Then the girl said, 'I prayed that if it was right for us to get married, his wife might get a divorce from him, and it was not many weeks before she did get a divorce. Now don't you think the Lord heard my prayer?' I dared not talk with her, for I had to speak that day before a large congregation. If Sister Prescott is in Battle Creek, she will be able to tell you the particulars. Well, from that time I cut loose from Fanny, never to connect with her again. But a little while after this, Fanny was in Sydney and wrote me another confession. I thought that I could not take her back, but the Spirit of the Lord rested upon me and said, 'Give her another trial.' So I decided that I would see Fanny and tell her that I would again take her back. This I did, and she remained with me several weeks and then decided that she wanted to go home to her mother. I told her that she might feel free to do so. And now, after all the suffering and distress that I have passed through because of the actions of these two, and the downright lies they told, to have Fanny Bolton put these articles in the paper, exalting her poor, miserable, blind, poverty-stricken soul, Miss Ashbury is a little too large a mouthful for me to swallow. It tastes strongly of the dish. If I can find them, I will send you copies of letters written to both Fanny and Caldwell."